Turn with me to Matthew 28. Stick your finger there and move on over to John chapter 17. And just kind of stick your finger there and let me get us started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the praise report that we have. We thank you, Lord, that after much prayer, we are seeing those answers come forth. And we give you praise. We give you glory. And we give you honor that you have done this thing for our nation. I thank you, Father God, for our time tonight. And as we prepare to dig into your word, I pray that you would just come and be our teacher, that the Holy Spirit would come, giving grace, giving wisdom, giving insight, opening up the scriptures to us. Settle things around us, Lord God, so that we can focus on what you have for us. The things that you've placed on my heart, just settle things around us, Lord God, so we can focus on you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your goodness. And I thank you for who you are. I thank you for who you are in our lives. I thank you, Lord. In your precious and holy name, amen. In John chapter 17, this chapter is about, it's Jesus. Jesus prayed for his disciples. And he prayed for those that he would leave behind. He prayed for us. He prayed that we would be one with him, that we would be one with the Father. Just like Jesus is one with the Father, we are called to be one with him. In John 17, verse 11, and I strongly recommend you read the whole chapter later. And now, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Let's go on down to 14. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Even as he is not of the world, which means what? We are not of the world. Once we come to know Christ as our personal Savior, once we are baptized into his name, once we are baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we are no longer of this world. Every step that we take after that is to draw us closer into the kingdom of heaven. So that by the end of the time that the Lord takes us home, we are basically stepping into heaven. That would be the ultimate goal, that we have come to a place that we have allowed him to draw us into himself to such a level that we aren't in a tremendous culture shock when we reach heaven's gates. You know how sometimes when, especially those of us that go to the GOE, and we spend a week there, and we pray, and we pray, and we're in worship and prayer, worship and prayer, worship and prayer. And we spend so much time immersing ourselves in his presence on behalf of the nation that when we get back home, it's almost like we enter this culture shock. As we go through the airports, this shock hits the system. We look at the advertisements in the airport. We look at when we walk by the magazines and we see how blatant the sin is right there on the magazine shelves. It's a shock to the system. Why? Because we're believers and we are called to be drawn into Him. He came and He walked this earth. He lived His life without sin to give us an example of what we were called to do. We are to strive to live a sinless life. Now, what does that mean? Everything is about works? No, it's not. Actually, our works demonstrate the faith that's within us. But He gave us the example. We can't possibly live a sinless life without Him, without His grace, without following His example. But He has called us to live in such a level of intimacy with Him that it is though He is walking alongside us day in and day out. How do I know this to be true? I look at the life of Christ and His interaction with His disciples. Now, consider for a moment. We have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and these are the Gospels. They're written from different perspectives. They're geared toward certain people group, and each one of them tends to give an example of Christ. Christ the man, Christ the Lion of Judah, Christ the Son of God. But all of them reflect the kingdom of heaven in the earth. Matthew, theologians feel that it was geared toward the Jews. And so to say the kingdom of God is at hand would put them off. So He has in His gospel the kingdom of heaven. But what they are releasing in the writing, because what they're demonstrating is what Christ came to do, and that was to bring the kingdom of heaven into the earth. And we have transitioned. That's what we're doing right now in this season of time in 2019. We are transitioning into the kingdom age. I've shared this with you before. We went through the refining. We have endured refining. We will still continue in the refining, but we have entered into the kingdom age. We are exiting the church age and entering into the kingdom age. What is the kingdom age? That is the time when our focus, our mindset, our spirit, our heart, all that we are is geared to the kingdom of God. Because that's the time in history that we are. We are preparing to step off into the kingdom of God. We are in the last days, my friends. Our lives, our mindset, all that we are is to be about the kingdom of God. Because it is, in fact, at hand. The kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, and they are synonymous in the New Testament, I believe it's listed 108 times. That's how important the kingdom of God is. That's how important it is for us to understand where we are in history. Matthew 28. 18. Now, this is after Jesus' death and resurrection. He spent some time with His disciples, and He is about to be taken up into heaven. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I am with you always. Those are His final words. I am with you always. Go and teach the people what I have shown you. Show them my way. Show them my life. When we read through the Gospels, we see the parables. And as we read through the parables, he shares the parables with the masses. But when he comes into his time of intimacy with his disciples, he explains the parables. We see a majority of parables from Matthew 12 or 13 on. We see him explaining in detail with those that have given up their lives to follow him. He walked with them. He talked with them. He taught them from real life experiences how to release the kingdom of God in the earth. You say, well, you know, I mean, they really had the benefit of Christ being right here with them. And so we maybe don't have that same benefit. But didn't he send the Holy Spirit to be with us, to be our teacher, to be our guide, to help usher us into the next level in him? Look at the miracles that were done in Acts, in the book of Acts alone, the miracles that were done by that new church. Peter, people would put their six loved ones in his path that his shadow might pass over them, and they would be healed. Paul, there would be cloths or aprons that would touch his skin and be shipped on to those who were sick, and they would be healed and delivered of evil spirits. Jesus wasn't with Paul in the flesh right there. He wasn't with Paul. Paul didn't get saved until after Christ went to heaven. Yet he knew the season he was in, and he knew the responsibility he had. And as he understood the scriptures and he relayed those scriptures, and we have almost half the New Testament is written by Paul, he understood that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. If we go back to the beginning, and why is this so important in this hour? We're headed into Passover season. And I've really been reflecting on this, the Passover lamb, the work of our Passover lamb. And so I've been studying on this, and I'm certainly not an expert on this. I want to give you what the Lord has shown me about the Passover lamb and why God sent his Passover lamb to be here with us, to die for us, that we might have eternal life with him. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as we read through Genesis 1, 2, and 3, we can see how God created the heavens and the earth. We can see how God created the sun and the moon and the stars. We see how God created plant life. And we see how God formed Adam with his own hands out of the dust of the earth. And Genesis chapter 2 says, and he breathed his life into Adam's nostrils. He breathed his life into Adam's nostrils. And there was Adam, a man. We list, as you read on in chapter 2, you see how God would bring the animals. He formed the animals. He says, I need to make a helpmate for Adam. So he starts creating animals out of the dust of the earth with his own hands. And he brings them to Adam, and Adam names them. I want you to think about that for a minute, because Adam was sinless at the time. He was sinless. God would come, form the deer, bring it to Adam, and say, what shall we name this? What would you call this, my son?
Well, God, I think I'll call this a deer. What do you think? And God would say, yes, that's exactly what I had in mind.
God would go and form a bear, and he would bring it, this big furry creature, and he would bring it to Adam, and he would say, son, because in Luke we read Adam was considered the son of God, right? Son, what should we name this creature that I've made today? And Adam would look at the big furry beast with those round ears and those piercing eyes and say, Abba, Father, how about we call this a bear? Yes, my son. That's perfect for this big furry creature. Creature after creature, God the Father would bring to his son, Adam. Creature after creature, until they were all named. And God looked at his son and he thought, he needs a helpmate. Someone who's like him. And he puts Adam to sleep and he takes from him a rib. And with the dust of the earth, he forms Eve. And he brings her to Adam and he says, son, this is my gift, a precious gift for you, a helpmate for you to share your life with. And Adam said, I shall call her woman because she came from man. Now, I want you to think and put yourself back in that time frame and think about the intimacy between God and Adam and Eve. God would come down into the garden, and we learn this because when Adam and Eve sinned in chapter 3 of Genesis, and God came in the cool of the day to walk and talk with Adam and Eve, he couldn't find them because they had sinned. They knew they were naked and they were hiding. And can you imagine the cry of God the Father's heart when he could not find his son and his daughter? He already knew what took place because God is all-knowing, but he's searching. Have you ever had lost sight of where your child is at the park and the frenzy that you go through trying to find them, and they're in the tube slide, hiding, clutching between the top and the bottom, seeing how long they can hold on before their muscles give up and they collapse and slide through the rest of the tube? Have you ever experienced that anxiety as you're frantically looking for your child? Imagine how God felt, because he knew, he felt it. In the spirit, there was a division that took place between God and man. He created them. He came and he walked with them in the garden in the cool of the day. Throughout the creation of all the animals, Adam was an integral part. There was a camaraderie going on between God the Father and Adam the Son. Creating all the animals that we see today, naming them. What a beautiful and intimate time that they must have had together. And when he formed Eve, we don't know exactly how long it was before Adam and Eve fell. But he would come in the cool of the day and he would walk with them. Fellowship with his son and his daughter.
So when they sinned, he knew there was a divide in the spirit. Sharp and painful divide in the spirit. But God had a plan. He set a plan in motion to reunite the Creator and the creation. And he did so by sending his Son, the Passover Lamb. What is the purpose of the Passover Lamb? In Exodus chapter 12, we read about the Passover, the first Passover. See, let's look over there. Exodus 12. God has delivered, or is about to deliver, the Israelites from Egypt. We all know the story. We've gone through the 9 plagues. We're about to hit the 10th one. This one is going to be so intense. It's going to be so ferocious that God had to set in motion a plan to protect his own, because the destroyer was about to come through the land of Egypt. God had given Pharaoh chance after chance after chance to release the people of God, let my people go, and he refused time and time again. God had a plan. This is part of his plan in all of history, from the creation of Adam and Eve, from the fall of Adam and Eve until now. This is part of his plan to reunite his creation with their creator. In Exodus 12, verse 11, Exodus 12, let's see, let's start on verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And let's go on down to verse 10. And ye shall, and he tells them to eat it, not raw, but it needed to be cooked by the fire. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. I am the Lord, and I am about to execute judgment in this land. He says, the Lord will pass through, verse 23, to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the 2 side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. So they were to take the lamb, they were to bring it into their house, they were to care for it for 3 days, and on the 4th day, they were to slay that lamb, and they would take the hyssop, and they would dip it in the blood of that lamb, and they were to spread it on their mantle, they were to cook the lamb, and they were to consume it all. What they couldn't consume was burned in the fire. They were to do so with their loins girded and their shoes on your feet. Why? Because the journey back to God had begun. I think many of us have forgotten about the journey. We accept the Lord as our personal Savior. Jesus Christ came. He was the Passover Lamb. He came. He died on the cross, covered with his blood. We are protected, because I'm telling you, if we don't have the blood of Christ on us,
If we don't have the covering of the blood of Christ, when the destroyer comes, we will be consumed. We have forgotten that we need to remember that this is a journey. One that once we accept Christ, we need to put our shoes on our feet, put our staff in our hand, gird up our loins, and head on toward the kingdom of God. How do we do this? We follow the example of Christ. I really encourage you to go through and read the Gospels. Really read them. Read them again and again and again, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist said it, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, after he went out into the desert and was tempted, he came back in. What did he say? Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We see this in Matthew 4. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus chose his disciples, and he discipled them. Who were his disciples? Well, we all go through the 12 disciples, right? But what about us? Jesus told them in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. Teach them. In Acts chapter 2, we see when the Holy Spirit came in the upper room, Peter came out, and he preached the gospel message. That Jesus was in fact the Passover lamb. He was in fact the Son of God. He was the one that was promised in the Old Testament by Moses and the prophets. Every single scripture that they had been clinging to as evidence that the Son of God, the King of Kings, the King of the Jews had come, he actually fulfilled. So as he laid that out for them, the Spirit of the Lord came down. 3,000 were added to their number that day. Peter did exactly what Jesus told him to do. He kept himself armed and ready, kept his shoes on his feet, his loins girded, and his staff in his hand. And whenever the Lord opened the door, which was pretty much every day of his life, Peter walked through that door, and he brought people into the kingdom of heaven with him. When Jesus walked this earth, and the reason why I encourage you to read the Gospels and read them again and again and again, consider the interaction with Jesus and his disciples. Consider how he interacted with them. I watched this film about Jesus. It was a film, it's the Gospel of Matthew. And it's an older film. But I watched him with the people. Like the Lord, I've watched it. I can't tell you how many times I watched it. Because it speaks to my heart so deeply. And the last several times that I watched it, the Lord pointed out every time he reached out and touched someone. The Lord showed me, he pointed out as he's walking with his disciples, and he has two of his disciples, and he puts his arm on either disciple, and they're walking and they're fellowshipping. When he goes to heal the sick, he touches them. He takes their faces in the palm of his hands, and he looks deeply in their eyes. And he heals them. In their excitement, they hop up and they run to him, and he hugs them several times in the film. They knock him over with their excitement. He picks up the children and he hugs them. Even those who have come to take him to the crucifixion, when Peter cuts off their ear, he says, no. And he goes and he heals the guard. Throughout the film, Jesus is touching the people. And I thought, why are you making this so real to me right now, Lord? He said, because I waited hundreds and hundreds of years to be able to come down and touch my creation like this again. I walked with my son and my daughter in the garden. They were without sin. I could touch them and not destroy them. Even Moses, I had to cover him in the cleft of the rock. I had to cover him when I passed before him because my holiness would have destroyed him. I've waited thousands of years to be able to come back and be with my creation. So yes, I hugged them. Yes, I took their faces in the palm of my hand and I looked deeply into their eyes because the only form I could do this in without destroying them was my son. Jesus was a man, but he was still God, and he was with his creation once again, fellowshipping, laughing, teaching them about the kingdom of heaven, teaching them about what they did not know because of the fall of Adam and Eve, teaching them about the intimacy that God wants with his creation. He longs to look in our eyes. He longs to embrace us. He longs to heal us. He longs, he hungers, he thirsts for us. He created us. If you read the lineage of Christ, it talks all the way back. All the way back to Adam, the Son of God. All those generations, he waited. All those generations, he waited to come and be among his creation. He confined himself into a man so that he could be with his creation. As he poured this into my heart, as he drew my attention to this, I watched it. But as I watched this film, I've done so because he's drawn me to this film. And as I watched it again, after he opened my eyes and said, "Watch. This is why I'm showing you this." I watched it again. And I cried, and I cried, and I cried. Because I saw that as he healed people and they jumped into his arms, the joy, the sheer joy it brought him, it filled his heart so much, it could burst in his chest. It was beautiful.
In the film, he's playful with his disciples. You know, he splashes water on them and he loves on them. As he feeds his people, he feeds them and he puts his hand on their shoulder just to connect with them. Just to connect with them. Because the Passover lamb has spread his blood over us. We can have relationship with him. Intimacy with him. We can have a closeness with him. He does want us to feel him. When we pray, when we read the word, he wants the fire of God to burn within us and begin to consume everything that is not of him. Why? So he can fill us with more of him. And what does he want us to do with that? He wants us to be his outstretched hands into the earth. Jesus walked with the disciples for nearly 3 years. He taught them and he trained them. When he died, he rose again and he ascended to heaven. On that first day when the Holy Ghost came down and filled the disciples, and Peter is delivering the gospel message, 3,000 came to their number. Peter did exactly what Jesus had trained him to do. He didn't say, you know, if you accept him into your heart, you're going to be in heaven when you die. He said, you sinned. And that is what separated you from God, because sin is that which separates us from God. You sinned. It separated you from him. So repent that you might come back to him, that you might come to your Creator. They repented. They accepted Christ, and they were baptized that day. And if you read and you continue to read in the book of Acts, you see how the church of the day began to grow. What was their focus on? Their career? No, it was on growing the church, caring for the poor, feeding the needy, providing shelter, delivering the gospel, being Christ's outstretched hands into the earth, bringing the kingdom of heaven into the earth. Sometimes we get saved, and the only place that we feel like we're free to be saved is in the four walls of our church. And, you know I speak pretty harshly about the church because there's just so much sin in the church. But I do remember a day that I didn't know about all that, and I felt like I could just be free and be saved in the church, right? But outside the church, I didn't know how to be. I didn't know how to be what Christ was calling me to be. I didn't understand that with the spirit of holiness, I have the kingdom of heaven within me. And when I walk into a room, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what Jesus meant when he came. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And everything you do is to reflect that. We may point out people's sins, but that's how we get them saved and keep them saved. That's how we bring the kingdom of heaven into the earth. We meet the needs of the poor. We feed the homeless. We take care of children whose parents don't have enough food in their homes. We provide that for them. We are being the Lord's outstretched hands into the earth. What's that little song that we used to sing as kids? And they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. We love them. Even if they don't accept Christ, we love them and we demonstrate what it is to be, to represent the kingdom of heaven. This is what we're called to do in this hour. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have left the church age and we are entering the kingdom age. I'm telling you, the kingdom of heaven is at hand and we've got to get on board and get caught up. We must. When Adam sinned, when Eve sinned, you know, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. Isn't that what we all do? But it didn't change the fact that it separated them from their Creator. And as you read through the Bible, you see the covenant promise. You see the covenant promise to return us to God. He releases the covenant promise right then and there. The promise that the seed would crush the head of the serpent. That's Christ. He already set a plan in motion to reunite the Creator with his creation. Do you see the depth of love that Christ has for you? Do you see the depth of love that God, who formed you in your mother's womb, has for you? He sent his Passover lamb that blood might be spread on your doorpost, and you might enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do you see the level of intimacy, the level of care? Psalms 139 says, He formed us in our mother's womb. He's known us since we were formed in our mother's womb. That goes for everyone, not just the psalmist. Job speaks about it as well. It goes for everyone, not just those that are written of in the Word of God. The Passover lamb didn't just come, walk this earth, die on the cross, and go back to heaven. He came and he walked this earth and he gave us the example of how to enter into union with him. His prayer in John chapter 17. I've taught them. Keep them. The world will hate them. But keep them one. Just like you and I, Father God, are one, keep these that I've trained in unity with you. Those that will come after them, the world will hate them too, because they're one with me. When he says we are to be one with him, we are to be one with him. That means we are to be
as Christ was in this earth, his outstretched hands into the earth, demonstrating the kingdom of heaven, the love of God. And if we don't do that, this is a very personal and intimate thing. It takes time to develop this. In Luke, the end of Luke, when Jesus came and he met with his disciples and he's speaking to them and he's revealing to them the Old Testament scriptures and how Jesus fulfilled those. And then he was gone. And they said, didn't our spirits burn within us as he unfolded the scriptures? That was him. It was the Lord. We may not always recognize him, but our spirit should burn within us. When we pray, when we study the word, our spirit should burn within us because we are consuming more of him. And as we go about our day, we should be releasing that into those that we come in contact with. He said to gird your loins, pick up your staff, keep your shoes on, and prepare for the journey that lies ahead. Prepare for the journey that lies ahead. Are you prepared for the journey? Are you equipped with the word of God? Do you have your staff in hand to keep you balanced? Turn the rocks over and make sure there's no snakes nearby. Are you on the journey to the kingdom of heaven? I ask you these questions because the Lord asked me these questions. I've taken you through these things, my daughter. I've prepared a way for you to enter the kingdom of heaven. Will you release the kingdom of heaven in the earth? Will you be my outstretched arm? Will you minister when I call you to? Will you reach out and hug someone that I tell you to hug? Will you love my creation so they can feel their creator? Will you stay ready? Will you keep yourself ready? Equipped. I've given you my word. The disciples didn't even have that. They had to remember and absorb all that he released into their lives while he walked with them. Then they wrote it down for us. By the unction of the Spirit, their time was spent in prayer and ministry. That's what they did. Releasing the kingdom of heaven into the earth. In the busyness of everything that's around us, we forget about the Passover lamb. When I read in Exodus 12, they brought that little lamb into their home on the 10th day. And they killed it on the 14th day. That means that lamb stayed in their home for 3 days. That baby lamb, have you ever held a baby lamb? They're about as cute as can be. And they are as playful. Have you ever seen them running through the farm? I live in Fresno. It's agriculture-based, and our college even teaches agriculture. So there's baby lambs running around, and they get the wool from the parents. But there's baby lambs, and they are so cute. You could just sit there and watch them play until they fall asleep. the children would play with this lamb. And when they had to slay the lamb, I'm an animal person. You know, it wouldn't have been good if I was born 150 years ago where they were killing their own chickens and cows. And I just never could have done that. They'd all been my pets. And I would have hid them from my parents. That's just my personality. But if they hadn't obeyed the word of the Lord and put that blood on their doorpost when the destroyer came, their firstborn would have been consumed. Jesus came and he walked this earth and he fellowshipped with his children, with his disciples. And when he hung upon that cross, he did so to truly unite us with the Creator. They came to know him. It was intimate fellowship with the Creator. I can imagine the heartbreak they went through. When he hung upon that cross. But why did he do it? Because that Passover lamb desperately wanted to enter into relationship with us. He had waited so long to interact with us. He longs for intimacy with you. He longs to release the kingdom of heaven in and through you. He longs for that. Will you gird up your loins? Put on your sandals, take your staff in hand, and get on this journey with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the depth of love that you have for us. We've said it so many times, and it seems almost like a little cliche, and it's not something that I take lightly. But you would have gone to the cross if it was only to save me. That's how much you longed to have relationship with your creation. Every person on this line, every person that will listen to it when it's up on the website, Lord. Every person who has accepted you into their hearts. You long for intimacy with them. You long for us. You long for a closeness with us. It's not supposed to be a superficial thing. It's not supposed to be a thing when we feel all, you know, goosebumpy when we go to church or when we go to the GOE or we go or we come on this line. It's not to be that. It's to be an ongoing journey with you where every single second of every single minute of every single hour of every single day leads us closer to you so that when we enter into heaven, it's not when we enter the gates that we experience the culture shock. If we look back, we see culture shock because our eyes have been on you all this time. And we will finally be at home with you.
Give us, Lord God, more and more and more of you. Let our hearts be stirred within us, that we hunger for you. That it isn't about food, it isn't about water, it's not about the roof of our head. All we care about is you. To know you more. To be on this journey with you, hand in hand. To walk down this path and have you reach your arm around our shoulder. And guide us. To feel your presence with us, Lord, day in and day out. Do this for us, Lord. Do this for us. As we head into Passover season, Lord, bring this ever before us. That we would hunger more and more and more for you. Remind us. Remind us of why. So that the Creator could connect with his children once again. I thank you, Lord. I love you. In your name, amen.